Speaking of American icons, Susan Brown of the Chapel Hill Public Library joins us in the studio for another round of Talking Books. How are you?
I'm doggone good, Aaron. How are you?
I'm barking great.
You know, I almost started off barking, like, you know, how start the show in the voice of the thing that we're going to talk about, but I decided not to do that.
That's
just
a
to
good
go
choice.
Straight for
yeah.
the... Is that a pun? Doggone good? No, that
doggone
was not a
good.
Pun.
No, that was a pun. That counts as a pun. Yeah.
I am doggone good.
That's good.
I have had a rough day.
That's also a pun.
But now I'm doggone good.
All right.
I don't have any more puns. I'm great. How are you?
I'm
well.
Really good. Yeah, yeah. We had a good conversation earlier today, in fact, at the library to promote the Friends of the Library, which is a really terrific organization that deserves more play, and will get some now.
They're awesome.
Yeah, they really are.
Yes, so thank you for helping them out. They are known throughout the state for all their good work. They're nationally known, because whenever I get the chance, I tell everybody in the world about them. Mm. But here locally, our friends feel like maybe they could have a little bit more local awareness. So we brought together a great group of people to think about how we might do that. So more soon.
Yes. And the more visibility they have, the more they'll be able to help out the library, which they already do, like hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of helping out the library.
$100,000 a year. And
is incredible.
Yeah. As they say, the town, the public dollars provide the cookie and the friends provide the sprinkles.
There you go.
More visibility means more sprinkles.
And then the friends will actually be providing the cookies tomorrow for the Meet the Author tea.
Nicely done, Mr. Keck.
Yeah. Master of segue.
It is time for the MTAT, the MATAT, the Meet the Author Tea.
Yes.
And yes, we had the pleasure of speaking with tomorrow's featured author, Bronwyn Dickey, a couple
great.
Of weeks ago. She's fabulous.
Yeah.
And I think tomorrow's talk is going to be equally fabulous.
And the book is like a really fascinating topic. Like, you see the title, Pitbull, The Battle Over an American Icon. It's like, okay, it's a book about pit bulls. And it is a book about pit bulls, but it's a book about how we respond to pit bulls. Like the book about how we sort of turned it into the pariah dog in the 1980s and all the nasty media coverage and why that came about. And then it goes beyond that. It's like a book about how we think about and how the media covers and how society thinks about dogs in general. And it's just a fascinating topic.
And I think there, and I haven't finished it, but it even goes, I think she pulls the lens out in a really, it's not a overdone or sort of cheesy way, but it really makes you think about really generally, not even about dogs, about how we handle our fears of others.
Oh, yeah.
And what we do in response to the unknown and how assumptions get built into stereotypes, get built into all of these things. So it's a great book. It's going to be a great program. So yes, come at 3:30 for the cookies and the fellowship and the tea. Oftentimes, I believe Flyleaf Books will be there tomorrow,
okay.
I think. They're often there. Often the author is there early, so you can mingle a bit beforehand.
Nice.
And then she will start right at 4. And then, of course, she will sign books and take questions afterwards.
Awesome.
It's going to be great.
Really cool.
And while you're there at the library, you can sign up for summer reading. It's for all ages.
Oh, yeah. That's still going on.
Our summer reading just kicked off. And I will tell you, it launched June 1st. And usually we launch it a week before the kickoff. Then we have the kickoff, which is last week. And then about a week, like 2 to 3 weeks into summer reading, we will have signed up like 1,000 people. Mm. This year in the first week, even before the kickoff, we signed up almost 2,000 readers.
Oh my God.
It's awesome.
That's great.
So summer reading, yes, it is for kids. It is beloved by kids and families, but at Chapel Hill, it's for all ages. So I don't care if you're 8 months old or 88 years old, stop by. You can also download the form off of our website, but if you stop by, you can get your reading log, which challenges you to read 20 hours this summer, and you get a pair of sweet library shades. So you can be super cool and sport your Chapel Hill Public Library sunglasses.
We did the trivia night, the nerd trivia night
yes.
at the Crunkleton, where y'all were giving away the sunglasses, and you have not lived until you have seen the Crunkleton full of people wearing these pink Chapel Hill Public Library
yes.
shades.
They were awesome. We have them in red, blue, and green, and I think black.
The
so
red
depending.
Ones is yeah, the ones that I was thinking
yeah.
of, yeah.
And then when you hit the 10-hour mark, stop by and bring in your log, and you get a couple of coupons, some for our Friends Bookstore, some for Flyleaf, and then some for all kinds of businesses all over town. So a free shave ice or a free slice of pizza or a free dog treat. There's all kinds of things. And then when you hit the 20-hour mark, when you've reached your goal, when you've fulfilled the challenge, you come in and you bring us your form and you show us all the colored-in sunglasses that denote each hour read, and you get a super cute branded library string bag and nice. A free book courtesy of our friends of the Chapel Public Library.
Awesome.
So tomorrow when you're there for Bronwyn Dickey's Book Talk, please sign up for summer reading if you haven't already done so.
Sounds good. So you signed up more than 2,000 people before the kickoff.
Yeah.
Is there a number on how many are signed up now? Is it
more than 2,000?
Significantly higher, right? Yeah.
And the kickoff was such great fun. Every year that party gets bigger and better, and we do it a little bit more efficiently, so it gets easier on staff. But we had such a fun day. There were families all over the place doing all kinds of things. We had great partners. It was really fun. So
yeah.
A great way to get summer started off. Yes.
Cool. So let's talk about summer books. Let's talk about dogs. We've got the Bronwyn Dickey coming in tomorrow to the library to talk about her book about dogs and us.
Yes.
And so many books about dogs are books about us. Like, there's so many coming-of-age books that revolve around dogs, but they're really about kids growing up. And a lot
Old
of the
Yeller.
Nonfiction books, Old Yeller,
right?
Yeah, My Dog Skip.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so many good ones. And, like, all the nonfiction books about dogs. It's about dogs, but it's also about our understanding and how they help us see ourselves and things like that.
Because I'm totally a dog person. Are you dog or cat?
I am so a cat person, actually.
Really?
Yeah. Big time cat
it's
person.
Over. The show's over.
Yeah, that's
I can't do it anymore.
That's it.
No, I never thought that I was a pet person, and then I got conned into getting a dog by my kids.
Like you do, yeah.
And I'm totally a dog person.
Yeah.
He's like a baby.
My dad, I think, was the other way around. Like, he was a dog person, and then I think my mom conned him into getting a cat. If I remember the story right, and they're going to be listening to this later, so I'll get a call from them with the actual correction, but we got the cat, and then he became a cat person just from actually interacting with the cat. And I feel like that would be that way with dogs as well.
Do you currently there are have
some,
a cat?
I do not currently have a cat. We are planning on getting two later this year.
Two?
But, yes.
Wow.
They say you got to get two because they give each other companionship.
Oh.
I don't know if it's the case with dogs, but with cats, you get two and then they keep each other company while you're at work,
right.
Which is helpful.
So they can ignore each other instead of ignoring you.
Exactly. Hey, what I really like are cats that are dog-like.
Yes, those are the only cats that I like.
Yeah, those
cats
are like,
that are
the
dogs,
more dog-like
basically.
Cats
yes.
that you have. Like, they're affectionate, they'll sit in your lap and they'll let you
right.
pet them, and they don't completely ignore you. Like, those are the cats that I like.
What was that? Speaking of books, was it the Stephen King? Was it a short story, Cat's Eye, where the cat came and sucked the life out of the people in the middle of the night?
Oh,
it was in one of his
yeah.
movies. I think it was called Cat's Eye.
Was that in like Night Shift or one of those?
Maybe so,
maybe?
But I have
yeah,
the
yeah,
image.
Yeah.
Like, I remember. I don't think we had a cat at this point growing up, but I saw that movie where the cat crawls up on the
uh-huh.
person's chest in the middle of the night and, like, in the kind of cheesy 80s visuals, like, sucks the breath and the life out. And then, like, two nights later,
it's like
I
a little,
went
like,
over,
ghostly
yeah,
soul
the
flies
smoke
out
kind
of
it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I went over to a friend's house and they had a cat, and the cat slept in their room. And I was like, no, this is not
this
happening.
This is not happening. That cat's going to steal my soul.
But we're not talking about cats today.
We're talking about dogs.
And books.
So,
okay.
Go for it.
I'm going to go for it. And the first thing I'm going to talk about is not a book.
All right.
No, I'm going to talk about, this is a perfect time to promote our awesome catalog, because I was thinking about books about dogs and I was trying to remember a couple and I used our catalog. So folks out there, some folks know exactly what they want. The Old Yeller, and they just type in the title. But
right.
if you just want to know what books, movies, stuff we have about dogs, our catalog has some great functions. So you can go to our catalog, chapelpubliclibrary.org, that's our website, click on the catalog, and you can just do a search for dogs as a keyword. But then, much like when you shop on like Amazon, over on the left, once you hit enter, you have all of these filters. So you could say, I just want a movie that's about dogs, or
okay.
I only want fiction books for kids
about dogs. Yeah.
I only want fiction books for kids that are currently checked in that I can walk out with today. I want ebooks that are all about dogs. So nice. I just wanted to put the pitch in. So I just did a quick search on nonfiction about dogs. So if you're thinking about getting a dog, if you have a dog that's acting up, if you want to know about the history of dogs in the military service, if you want to know about kids and dogs, we have so many nonfiction books. So that was really just a plug. And I think my two favorite titles when I did a search for this is one, Please Don't Bite the Baby, and Please Don't Chase the Dogs, Keeping Our Kids and Our Dogs Safe and Happy. And then the second one, I love this title, All Dogs Go to Kevin. Everything Three Dogs Taught Me That I Didn't Learn in Vet School. So if you know that you like nonfiction reading and dogs, there are some really great ways to search the catalog. And you could do this for cats, too. But I just wanted to put a plug in for our awesome searchable catalog.
Awesome.
And then a book. Okay. The first book that I'm going to recommend, it's fiction, not nonfiction. I'm going to recommend the first book in the Chet and Bernie series. It's actually an entire series, Chet and Bernie Mysteries. The author is Spencer Quinn, and the first book in the series is Dog on It. What I love about this, if you love mysteries, if you love, so not super dark serial killer types of things, but also not quite the cozy tea shop mystery, something right. in the middle. Chet and Bernie are a crime-solving duo. Chet is the dog, and he narrates the series.
Okay.
So it's a mystery series. It's a crime fiction series narrated by this very cheeky and funny and sort of sarcastic dog named Chet. So Bernie, his owner, has a detective agency that's not going so great. And of course, in the first book, they get this case that really is a big one for them. And the whole series is Chet and Bernie solving cases, but the dog narrates the whole thing.
Oh, I like
it. Highly recommend it.
Who's
probably
it by?
The author's name is Spencer Quinn.
All right.
And the first in the series is Dog on It. And there are several in the series. Perfect for summer reading by the pool.
Awesome.
Now All right. it's your turn.
I'm going to go with nonfiction in this case. There is an author named Alexandra Horowitz who writes nonfiction books about like the inner lives of dogs, like how they think and how they smell and what it's like to be a dog and look out at the world through a dog's eyes. She's got one that was a bestseller a few years ago called Inside of a Dog, What Dogs See, Smell, and Know. That's available. And she also, like less than a year ago, last year, published another book called Being a Dog, Following the Dog into a World of Smell. And both of them kind of touch on the same topic, which is like really focusing in the second book on the sense of smell, but just the experience of what is it like to be something that isn't human, to look out at the world through the eyes of a non-human animal, in this case a dog, and experience the world in that way with like different degrees of sense, with like that heightened sense of smell and different vision and different everything. So that's the first recommendation, Alexander Horowitz's books.
I love books like that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you watch them, dogs have very expressive faces.
Yes.
And then the whole smell thing, and then what is the tail wagging? You know, the mm-hmm. tail's up, the tail's down, it's wagging.
The ears are back, the ears
yeah.
are forward, yeah.
And then, I don't know, somebody, I can be a little bit gullible sometimes, and I keep forgetting to look this up, but somebody recently convinced me that, so if you have a dog and you walk it and he's got to do his business, the kind you have to scoop,
right?
They'll often circle. They circle around before they do it. And somebody told me that they're lining up on like a north-south axis. I'm like, is that true? But if you, like, why do dogs do that? And
right.
dogs do that.
Okay.
So I need, perhaps her books would tell me
All
that.
All right. So
I think they might have been pulling my leg.
Dogs poop magnetically is what we're going with here on the air today.
Maybe I'll ask Bronwyn Dickey tomorrow.
Do that in the middle, like, while not even during the Q&A, but like while she's in the middle of her talk, like walk in and say, wait, hold everything. Before you continue, I've got a question that no one can leave until it's answered.
Okay. I'll put that on my list of questions for her tomorrow. Okay.
By the way, I'm Googling
Are
this
Googling
right now.
It?
And just so you feel a little bit better, the like Google auto like will auto complete.
Uh-huh.
If you type in do dogs poop, the auto fill next word is north. So
oh.
you are not the only person to ask this question. And there is now, this is a PBS.org article from 2014. Sure, UNCTV is my local station.
Right.
I got to click on a thing. Dogs poop in alignment with Earth's magnetic field, study finds.
It's true.
It was dogs use the Earth's magnetic field when they're relieving themselves. Not only that, but canines choose to do so in a north-south axis, says a new study published in the journal Frontiers in Zoology. And I don't know how good a journal Frontiers in Zoology is, but I don't know that it's irreputable, so...
That's right. Yeah. I feel somewhat vindicated because I figured somebody was pulling my leg.
Maybe. Don't pull the dog's leg while they're doing that, though.
No,
otherwise, they'll be completely
that would not be
off
good.
Their axis.
But we're not here to talk about dog poop.
No, now
we're
we
here
are.
To talk about books about dogs. I'm going to recommend another book. This one has dogs in the title. This book that I want to recommend is another mystery series. You're not. What is it? You can barely keep it in, Aaron.
After examining 70 dogs over 2 years, 1,893 defecations, and 5,582 urinations, researchers found that under calm magnetic field conditions, dogs preferred to excrete with the body being aligned along the north-south axis, avoiding east-west altogether.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
They face Santa Claus. Or, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do. They
do.
Would. Yeah, they would have to.
Yeah, they want to stay on his nice list.
Yes.
Not his naughty list. I don't know what's happening here.
Anyway, you had to
recommend
a book.
But
go
we
get
to have a stop talking about doggy
dog. No, I'm sorry.
Do.
Like, they had to keep
know,
track of the... Like, there was, like, someone with one of those clicky counters, like 1,884, 1,885, 1,886. What did you eat, dog? Oh,
right.
My God. Go for it.
Okay, I'm going to talk about books now. Close it out. Shut down the interwebs.
Yes,
okay.
Done.
The other book that I want to recommend just has dogs in the title of it, and it is also a mystery series. So if you like something a little bit more darker and a little bit more literary, still not like serial killer thriller stuff, I highly recommend Henning Mankell's Kurt Wallander series. Awesome series of books. And the second one in the series is called The Dogs of Riga. I think it's actually all that much about dogs. I read it a while ago, but I was just looking for an opportunity to promote this series, and it happened that the second book has the word dogs
nice.
In it. So the Wallander series, they are that Nordic noir, Scandinavian crime fiction, also made into a really great PBS series with Kenneth Branagh. So if you're looking, and it's great to read in the summer, not only because this type of fiction is great for the summer, but it's set in these snowy, ice-filled climates. So when it's 95 degrees here in Chapel Hill, you can escape to the cold, cold fjords. Fjords, not fjords.
Fjords.
Fjords?
Yes.
No, that's not how you
fjords,
say it.
Fjords, yeah.
I don't believe you.
F apostrophe jords.
Probably think that you're probably going to tell me the dogs poop on north-south next. Anyways, you can escape in your mind to Scandinavia. I recommend The Dogs of Riga and the entire Henning Mankell Kurt Wallander series.
Awesome. So many books about, especially like kids' books about dogs, we talked about coming of age books about dogs, involve the dog dying, right?
Yes.
Everyone is on the lookout for a really like touching, moving coming of age story that involves dogs where the dog doesn't die. The first Beverly Cleary book that I ever read was Ribsy, which is a Henry Huggins story. So not even the Beezus and Ramona series, although they're friends with him. But it was the first Beverly Cleary book that I ever read, and it was one of this great books. I think still my favorite book about dogs that I've ever read, and I read it when I was like six. It's a great, great book, and it's got an unsad ending, which is very nice.
Which book is it?
Ribsy.
Oh, Ribsy. Okay,
Ribsy,
I was like Henry and Ribsy, Ribsy.
Oh, there's Henry and Ribsy. Yeah, there's Ribsy. There's Henry and Ribsy. There's what are some other books? Like Ribsy shows up in pretty much every book that has Henry Huggins in it.
I think so, yes.
Yeah.
So kids' books feature, or dogs feature in kids' books a lot. So the last one, I just wanted to throw out some of my all-time favorites and then mention probably in my top three personal all-time kids' books, I'm just going to say. So kids' books that feature dogs, picture books. One of my favorites, Ezra Jack Keats, Whistle for Willie. Mm. Such a great book. Willie the Dog features in many of his books. I was always a fan of Harry the Dirty Dog. Great older picture book series.
Yeah, yeah.
Go Dog Go.
Yes,
so that's P.D. Eastman and the sort of Dr. Seuss vein of books. So many great ones, but I'm going to pull out my personal all-time favorite. Mm. It's another old one. It's a golden book, The Pokey Little Puppy.
Nice.
Did you ever read this one?
No, I didn't.
Oh, The Pokey Little Puppy. This was read to me when I was a child, and then I read it to my kids. So The Pokey Little Puppy is adorable, and he and his little puppy brothers and sisters sneak out when they're not supposed to, and they go under the fence, and they go out on adventures, and their mom calls them
that's
home.
That's awesome.
And they get in trouble.
Yeah.
And then when they, but he's Pokey, so he's the last one back. So she
gets in the most trouble.
No, she sends them all to bed without any dessert.
Oh.
And he finally gets back and he's like, hey, here's a rice pudding. And he eats the whole thing and then he goes to bed. And it repeats itself day after day.
I think I have read this, actually, because this sounds familiar.
So there's strawberry shortcake he gets, chocolate custard.
Oh, that's
but
hilarious.
But it's a great picture book because it's got a rhythm to it. And so the whole thing repeats itself and the language is great. The photos are the art is adorable. If you've never read The Pokey Little Puppy, I encourage you to read it or any picture books about dogs because there are a gazillion in four.
I got two more that I'll just knock out real quick. First of all, not a book, but a movie, The Triplets of Belleville.
Oh, yeah.
Which is that, like, unbelievably great and like an hour and 15 minute long. It's French and it's almost completely silent. Like,
and
it's in French, but there's no subtitles because there's hardly any dialogue. The music is great. Best dog ever, right?
Yes.
Oh
yes.
My God.
That
such
is,
a perfect
a
dog.
One. Yeah.
And the last one, I'm going to bypass Clifford, the big red dog who we haven't mentioned yet. My favorite dog in children's literature, Max from How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Is it Max? Is that his name?
Yeah. I think his name was Max. And he straps the antlers on
his
head.
I love that dog. Like, that's my favorite part of the whole book, I think, and the TV show.
So usually I give a shout out often to my kids or my husband on the show. Hector, my little darling dog who's half dachshund, half Jack Russell Terrier. If you're listening, hi, Hector. Love you. He never gets a shout out.
He's home
asleep.
All right.
He's not listening.
Susan Brown, thank you so much.
Thanks.